Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're talking today about a subject that really comes very close to cultural values held throughout Indian country. It's the subject of generosity, giving back, being a part of community, being a part of the tribe, really seeing your responsibility and taking opportunities to really do all you can to those around you. These are deeply rooted values throughout Indian country, regardless of what tribe you represent. We know that you can relate to those concepts. What's fascinating, though, about this whole topic is it's something that is resonating in cultures throughout the world, even in cultures that often have prided themselves on individuality and looking out for number one, if you will. With us today to help us in a very engaging, very practical conversation is Dan Thurman. Dan is a popular speaker. He's an author, and he's speaking to us today about generosity. Can it be the key to your success? Dan, it's wonderful to have you with us on today's show.
Thank you, David. It's a great pleasure to be here.
You know, Dan, when we just lay the foundation for the program today, speaking about generosity, I mean, in broad strokes, a lot of people would think of philanthropy, that whole area. How does someone like yourself get kind of tapped into that whole discussion? How have you gathered such expertise in this that you're in demand throughout the country and beyond for your expertise?
Well, thank you. Most of my audiences are actually the corporate audiences, conventions, trade shows, associations, and the like. But they actually bring me in because I offer a different perspective, an outsider's perspective. And I've always been tuned into, I think, a different frequency from how a lot of people evaluate their life and their success. And I think more and more these days, even at the corporate level, people are realizing that success and true fulfillment is not derived from what they thought it was in terms of financial success. It's really more about being connected to something that's much more meaningful.
I mean, it's such an exciting concept because throughout Indian country, this is a deeply held value. And one of my favorite illustrations from some of the early Europeans that actually came to this continent is an illustration of Jacques Lemoyne, a Frenchman who came to this this continent. He drew a picture of the Native Americans where they stored their food. It's a building that that has no on it, and he speaks about how people shared, how they had things in common, no one had any need. It really seems that what you're looking at, tapping into this whole value, this whole concept of giving back, sharing, generosity, is starting to resonate with people who don't even have those kind of cultural traditions or that memory of cultural tradition.
And that really tells me that it's something that comes from within us. And that the traditions serve to remind us of these things, but really it's inborn, and we have this this kind of like pre-programmed ability to tune into our environment in a different sort of way. And really, when I started writing these ideas, it was in my book about living off balance on purpose, which is also another counterintuitive idea. People talk about living on balance or trying to achieve a sense of balance in their lives. And what I've watched happen is in the corporate audiences and the organizations that I speak is that that message of how to achieve work-life balance or life balance rings completely hollow because those organizations fail to back that up with the necessary action and adjustments to really make it achievable. And in large part, I believe that achieving a sense of balance, a perfect balance in your life, is not achievable. That we are all off balance every single day based on what we are pursuing, based on how we are growing, how we are changing, and how we are plugging into our environment. So the real question, I believe, is not are you off balance, because we all are, but rather are you off balance in response to your world, Or are you off balance on purpose? Are you making it intentional, deliberate? Do you have that plan and that sense of where you're going? And are you bringing a sense of purpose or meaning to what you do?
You know, as you speak about this whole concept of off balance, Dan, the illustration that immediately comes to my mind is that of a little child. Probably the most thrilling developmental stage in life is when we're looking at a little child, we're seeing how rapidly it seems that they're acquiring new skills, and yet at the same time, if you look at an infant, it seems that they are almost perpetually off balance. They are continually taking on new tasks that they're really not able to handle fully, but it's in that process that they develop new capacities. Is this giving us a little bit of a window on what you're trying to communicate?
I think so, and that's a great illustration because we all have that visual. And newborn children, and then in their toddler years, you see them take those risks and steps and test their environment. And that's the thing, is they're reaching out, and they're touching, and they're feeling, and they're plugging in. And they don't really mind falling down and picking themselves back up again and going forward. One of the concepts that I use to illustrate this is I bring my background and my abilities in acrobatics. For a long, long time, I was a gymnast and acrobat, and even pursued those skills into the performance arena through some corporate performances with juggling and unicycling and all these types of things. So I bring that tablet of performance history into my corporate messages, and I support those things with these illustrations. So if you can imagine riding a 6-foot unicycle, throwing myself forward off balance in order to move in that direction. And I use that to point out, listen, you have to be off balance in order to make forward progress. That's how we grow. That's how you improve yourself. That's how you improve yourself physically or spiritually or in any way that truly matters. And it's also how we uplift one another.
Well, so, Dan, let's try to make this very practical for people tuning in today. And someone's saying, listen, my life is a mess. I mean, people have been telling me I'm out of balance. I'm doing too much. I'm not paying attention to the right things. Here's a couple of guys who are trying to tell me, it almost sounds like they're trying to say this is all right. How do you speak to someone who's really sensing they don't have a handle on their world or their personal situation, and they're catching a glimpse, maybe is this hopeful or is it really just leading me down a path that's going to dig me deeper into the hole that I'm already in?
Well, I think it is hopeful, a prospect, because what it means is you're in charge of your destiny. You may not be able to orchestrate every step along the way because it's unpredictable. Uncertainty is a factor that we all deal with. But I think we can embrace that uncertainty. And the way you start to make this very practical for the people in your audience who find themselves in a world of hurt or pain or just confusion about their environment is to take ownership of your existing circumstances. Now, that's a powerful first step. And the way I phrase that in my book is own your reality. In other words, own the circumstances that you're facing, whatever it is. See your life as it is. Don't make it worse and don't make it better. Don't fool yourself into thinking things are all right when they're really not. And also, don't make things worse, because we sometimes do that to make ourselves the victim and to feel like all these outside circumstances have impacted our life in a negative way, and that's why things are the way they are. When the reality is, we are where we are in our lives because of the choices we've made, because of the actions we've taken, and even, yes, when things happen that we don't anticipate, it's how we react to those and process those in order to move forward. So the first step, and I know we'll be talking about many of these steps today in this time we have, but the first is to own your reality.
Owning your reality. I mean, Dan, this is so important because so many people, it seems that they're running away from reality. They're making excuses about what someone did to them or why they have these problems. Thanks for focusing on this important issue. So this is really a fascinating dialogue, Dan, because I think so many of us find ourselves off balance so frequently, it seems, and you're really saying this is an opportunity for us to reassess and take advantage of the situation that we're in.
Yes. Yeah, and think of it this way, that we've heard that balance is the ultimate goal and the end-all result, and if we achieve a sense of balance in our lives, then at that point, at that mythical time in our future, then we will be peaceful or we will be content. And I think you and I share that philosophy that says the only way to find peace and contentment in life is to be peaceful and content as you move through life. And life is not a hypothetical future. It's an undeniable present. It's happening around you all the time. So it really is about how we relate to our world.
So, Dan, as we look at this whole subject of generosity, philanthropy, tribes have been in a position, some of them, in more recent years, to be a lot more involved across tribal lines in helping out one another. Of course, there have been some opportunities for tribes to get a more stable financial footing in the last several decades, and many have used that to really channel some of those resources into things not only that help their local tribe, but help throughout Indian country. As funds get tighter, a lot of people begin to look and say, well, maybe we're being a little bit too generous and we need to kind of cut back. I mean, is this just a financial reality, or is there a danger in that concept of saying we've got to be careful about not being too generous?
Well, there seems to be that self-protection that's built in that stops us from being generous. But every time that I've tested that in my life, I've found that it's really impossible to give more than you receive. And when you step out on faith, you know, when you really go into that with the spirit of giving and do it for a reason that's purposeful, not just to abandon your possessions and belongings for no apparent reason, but when it's connected to that sense of purpose and meaning with your financial possessions, but also with your time and your energy and your other resources, then you'll find that it comes back to you in spades.
So even when things are tough, we need to be especially, it sounds like, looking at ways to continue to cultivate those generous either values of our forefathers or things that are part of our spiritual tradition or things that just we're learning from people like you make good sense as far as our own health, if nothing else.
Right. Well, think of it this way. If you want to experience, like we said, peace and contentment, well, you have to be peaceful, and you have to be content where you are in some way. If you want to feel that you have a sense of control over the time and the flow of your life, we don't get that sense of control by speeding up and moving faster and faster and faster. We get it, actually, by slowing down, even in the midst of chaos and activity. And when you do, you find out those moments expand for you. And similarly, if we want to experience the abundance that life has to offer, the generosity of our fellow human beings and the people who are in our tribes, in our immediate world and outside, the people we've never met before, then we have to embody that abundance and that spirit of generosity when we interact with others as well.
So, Dan, for someone who right now is listening, they're at a tribal level, they're making decisions about budget, they're looking at needs perhaps in their own tribe or things beyond their tribal community. Maybe there's some requests for some funding. What kind of things should go into those decisions? If you're in a position where many people are asking you for help, it's physically or at least conceivable that you may not have means to help every project that requests it. How does someone strike, I hate to use the word since we've been speaking about it in a somewhat negative light, but how do you achieve some balance between right. what things you contribute to, if you will, and where you need to be more fiscally conservative?
Well, I think you're right. We cannot respond to every request for our time, for our money, for our resources. But what we can do is we can evaluate those from a gut-level resource and then also with a more financial investigation. And I think look for the opportunities to partner with others, to contribute to others who are in alignment with our goals. And one of the ways that I look at life decisions, whether it...
Dan, we got to slip away just for a minute. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking with Dan Thurman. I hope you're catching. There's some really exciting things, exciting undercurrents that we're already beginning to tap into, things that can make a dramatic difference for you, your family, and your tribe. Don't go away. We've got more to come.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, also known as NAHI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHI is available at nahicharity.org. The Lifestyle Center of America is another American Indian Living sponsor. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 1-800-596-5480.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people. For the people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose here. We're speaking with Dan Thurman. Dan is helping us to really look at things from a very different perspective than most of us have been accustomed to if we've been listening much to the majority culture in the 80s, 90s, and beyond. But new values are starting to creep into mainstream society. They're values that have been part of historical cultures and First Nation cultures for decades, even centuries. We're speaking about the whole value of generosity, of giving back, realizing the privilege we have of being a part of someone else's success, not just looking out for number one. And Dan, as we're speaking about all this, one of the concepts you threw out there is one that I still think some of our listeners may be reeling a little bit from, and it's this whole concept of being off balance on purpose. Can you help us to catch that vision just a little bit better?
Sure, absolutely. Off balance on purpose is really an empowering thought to me and to my audiences. And not only that, but it really liberates many people from this obligation or this sense that they have to achieve some perfect state of balance in life. Because let's think about it this way, David. Throughout our life, we're making decisions. We're trying to be most attentive to our families and to our tribes, to our cultures, to our environments, to our work obligations. And we're spreading ourselves along all of those different lines in ways where we're trying to really give and give. And in order to do that, we will not be perfectly balanced moment to moment. Balance is something you really can only look at over a longer period of time. So to me, off balance on purpose means be totally invested in the thing that you're doing. Be focused on the people you're having a conversation with, on the tasks that you are engaging in the changes that you're making in your life to grow and to become a better person. So be intentional about this. Be on purpose. And also bring a sense of purpose and meaning and significance to what you do and to who you meet and to the conversations that you have as well.
So this really strikes, it seems, Dan, against this notion that if you're putting too much into something, this is not good. I mean, if you're focusing on, you know, really perfecting the pottery art that's been handed down to you and your family for many years, you might be a young person, and someone would say, no, you've got to, you know, get more balance. You've got to, are you speaking against the concept of a rounded, well-rounded education, or is there something here that we often don't tap into?
Well, I'm just saying that you should, if you feel compelled to learn something, to do something, to move in a direction that to you has a sense of meaning, whether it be to really learn that and master the craft of pottery or art or to some vocation, you know, for anyone listening in your audience who knows in their heart the thing that they are most passionate about doing, in order to become the best, in order to become a true master, that requires an off-balance effort. And it's usually in the forward, in the first part, in the learning curve, as we really immerse ourselves into these challenges, that we do have to be off balance in that direction, and that is a good thing. And when we strain ourselves to learn or to grow or to use our muscles or our intellect, and really to the point where we are exhausted, it's from those experiences that we can then recover and then increase our capacity to take on those challenges, and suddenly we find ourselves stronger and better at what we were pursuing.
I mean, this is an exciting concept because I think it's so easy for people to get the idea that if you focus too much in one area, like you've been saying, you're not a balanced person, you're not well-rounded, and yet if you become, quote, so well-balanced, you can become good really at nothing. Is that a danger that you see in the corporate world, too, when you speak to organizations? They're trying to do too much on too many fronts?
Yeah. I mean, you could look at it from a very simple example of having a conversation with someone who's right in front of you, and yet they are distracted by their cell phone that's vibrating and sending them email, texts, and messages. And in an effort to feel like they are more balanced or more connected to their world or more efficient, what they're really doing is diminishing the value of the most important thing that's happening, which is the person right in front of them that they are face to face with. Now, that metaphor extends to many different opportunities in our life when we could be perhaps less than our best because we've failed to disengage from other things and to really apply ourselves and apply our focus. And I use that term disengagement in a purposeful way. You know, we've been told we need to be completely engaged on everything in our lives. But I think those who have really mastered the skills of being able to live off balance on purpose are those that can not only engage challenges but disengage from them so that they can be focused on something else that's happening right in front of them. At the same time, we look at our world, and this is one of the things I wanted to get into, is to talk about how we can synthesize or blend our pursuits for relationships and work and spiritual growth and health and all those vital things to our lives.
Well, I mean, this is an exciting topic because I think regardless of what demographic you talk about, Dan, the folks that tune into American Indian Living, I mean, they're interested in this whole issue of integrating, you know, their spiritual pursuits, their life goals, their family issues, their physical health. How do you really blend those pursuits in a way that contributes to each one instead of detracting from the various things that you're pursuing?
Well, that's a great question. And first, let's define what those spheres really are. And I refer to those as spheres in your life because perhaps of my background as a professional juggler and acrobat, because I'm accustomed to looking at multiple objects or multiple objectives in motion with one another and the shapes that they take. And what does it really take to be able to juggle five things at once? Well, what it takes is an awareness to a pattern that connects all those different objects and realizing they are not floating independently. They exist in a vital relationship with one another. So for me, those five spheres that each of us, regardless of our background, that we handle, that we juggle every single day are these. Number one is your work. We have your relationships. your health, your spiritual growth, and your personal interests, the things you just love to do, the things you love to learn. So the question is, you know, how do you do that? How do you blend those? And traditional balance books will tell you, you need to separate them. You need to compartmentalize your life so that you have your work over here and you give that your time, and then you have your relationships here, and you kind of keep everything separate, which to me is unrealistic, because they're constantly overlapping and interconnecting, especially in your thinking and all of your decision making. So I look at that and I say, well, how do you create, how do you pursue those five spheres in a way that they are sustained in a pattern above you and within your control and grasp, in a way that you set goals in each of those areas and they support one another? So it's a sense of integration instead of separation.
Okay, so let's talk about someone who has specific goals, where they want to take a business. Maybe it's a tribal entity. Maybe they're got a small home-based business, whatever it might be. And it really looks like this is going to take a lot of hours. It's a startup business. It's not the easiest time, let's say, to start in that line of work. And they're also realizing that they need to prioritize the relationships. Maybe they've got some younger children that they want to stay connected with. How does someone, what process do they use to go about judging how to integrate even those two spheres?
Right. Well, the point is, you can't only integrate two spheres. They are all connected. So if you're saying, well, how do I start this enterprise, or what effort will it take? You start by saying, well, what impact will that have on my relationships, on my health? Is it going to support or challenge my pursuit of good health? Is it congruent with my spiritual beliefs and my practices and my growth? And will that continue to support my effort? And above, and is it something that I'm interested in? Because if not, if it doesn't tie into my personal interests, then I won't be able to sustain my commitment for the long term. And then, you, as you move through these processes, what I believe in doing is strengthening the lifelines. Now, the lifelines, if you imagine these five balls in motion with one another, if you were to draw lines that connected each sphere to one to the other as they're in motion, those lines to me represent the interconnections, or the spokes of the web, if you would, that connect those spheres of your life. So you would say, well, my work is connected to my relationships, those kids in my life who are vital and precious to me. So how do I strengthen that lifeline? Well, there's a couple different things. You'd recognize that your work, of course, is how you will provide for your family. It definitely is a requirement. That's how you provide for them in many different ways. But then also, your family is what is going to help sustain you and drive your commitment and renew you. To strengthen that lifeline, what you could do is to educate your family, your children, your friends about what you're doing, so that they understand, even if you have to be away, even if you have to be focused on this other thing for a while, here's why, here's what it's all about. Here's, you know, make them a part of it, in a sense, and tell them about it. Ask for their input. You share the ideas, and that way they can understand when you have to move in a different direction.
So really what we're talking about here is really a subject that throughout Indian country has always been valued, this whole concept of the unity of life, of integration. And Dan Thurman, who we've been listening to, is really telling us that if we want to get the most out of life, it's not somehow finding some kind of magical balance, but it's by being off balance deliberately, and yet at the same time being aware of these five important spheres. We've got a lot more practical information. I think you see the pieces coming together, but this is why we've got Dan with us for the entire hour. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up on American Indian Living.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking to Dan Thurman. Dan is trying to help us look from a different perspective at some very deeply held values throughout Indian country. Dan, I know many people, as they're listening today, they're resonating with some of these concepts, and yet they might be struggling to see the big picture because this is really a construct that in some ways is very old but is very new. You've got some resources available on the web. You've got a book. Can you tell us a little bit about resources if people want to know more about what you're sharing?
Absolutely. I'll give you two websites. The first is offbalanceonpurpose.com, which is the book website. And at that place, you will see some videos, some clips about the book, a sample chapter to read the first chapter and really get into the idea, as well as a free report, which takes you into some depth through this whole process and gives you some information that you can apply. And you can download that from the homepage at offbalanceonpurpose.com. Also, to see me in action, to see some of the videos and demonstrations that we've been talking about that support these concepts, you can visit my speaking website, which is danthurman.com, T-H-U-R-M-O-N.
Great, great. So either offbalanceonpurpose.com or danthurman.com, different resources available on each of those sites, but complement the messages that you're giving not only on today's show, but throughout the country and beyond.
That's right.
So, Dan, let's come back to this whole concept of helping someone who today may find themselves in a position where they are off balance, but it's not on purpose. And they feel like whether it's because of financial situations, whether it's family situation that kind of got out of hand, or maybe someone just walked out on them, who knows what the situation is. And they're really trying to regroup and say, I got to put my life back together. Things are very different today than they were a year ago. Is there a process that someone can actually walk through that can help them to give some perspective back to their life?
I believe there is, and I outline a process in the book. There's basically five steps. We've talked about one of those so far. And the steps are, and I'll go back into depth on each of them, but own your reality is the first step. Secondly, to seek your purpose. We'll talk about that too. Third is to lean forward and really make yourself a little bit uncomfortable. Fourth is to leverage the resources that you do have. And then the fifth step is to follow through. And so we talked about owning your reality as the prerequisite. That's really where we have to start, is to take ownership of our life situation and for the part that we played in creating these circumstances. It's not about what others did to us. It's not about the fact that, well, we don't have enough time or we have unprecedented challenges. It's about owning the situation as it is. What are your capabilities? What are your limitations? You know, and how can you move forward at this point to overcome them? Once you have that sense of ownership and really understanding that you are the one in charge, then the next step, I believe, is to seek your purpose, to really look for a sense of purpose in your life. And that may come from your deeply held principles and spiritual beliefs, from your practices, from your families. It may come from what your natural strengths are and the things that you love to do and really want to pursue to a greater extent. And now this is a lifelong process of really rediscovering our purpose. And so we can look at it in that big picture sense of what is my purpose in life, but we can also look at it as what is my purpose moment to moment. As you're stepping into a conversation, for example, you can say, well, what do I really want to get out of this conversation? You know, am I really just, or it could be as simple as, I really want to be present and get to know the person that's in front of me. And that can be a very, very significant sense of purpose that you can bring into your moment to moment activities. So we begin with a sense of ownership. Then we look for a sense of purpose that we can latch on to. Mm-hmm. And once you feel connected to purpose, that gives you permission to take the third step, which is to lean forward and make yourself uncomfortable. Now, I alluded to this earlier with the analogy of riding a 6-foot unicycle, right, which is what I do in front of my audiences. Now, imagine me zipping around between tables and chairs and leaning forward, but following through with my pedaling and my actions. And the point is, you know, in order to lean forward and do that, you have to throw yourself into some uncertainty and, in a sense, start to fall into that unknown. But unless you're doing that, you can't really generate momentum and you can't generate a commitment to move forward. So leaning forward in a practical sense might mean making a commitment and saying, this is what mm-hmm. I intend to do. I'm going to make this promise to someone who I respect, and I'm going to move forward in this direction with them. And or it might mean making a decision that you've long been sort of forestalling, uh-huh. even though you know it's the right thing to do.
No, I mean, this is exciting information, because I think a lot of people, when they find themselves in a difficult situation, they're not actually often saying, I'm looking for what gives me purpose. They're kind of reeling instead of accepting the situation. Like you said, coming back to your first point, they're not owning the reality. They're saying, here's something that was thrust on me. I don't like it. You know, my relationships have not gone the way I wanted, or my finances have not gone in the direction I wanted. I don't have that job anymore, whatever it might be. But you're saying, what I'm hearing you say loud and clear, Dan, is that look at these things as opportunities. You're now off balance. Own where you're at, find purpose in the very place you're at, and then go even a step further. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. Lean forward even more. Am I hearing that right, when someone is already uncomfortable?
Well, if they're uncomfortable, it doesn't always mean that they're leaning forward in the right direction. In fact, oftentimes it means that they're being pulled in directions that are that are not congruent with a sense of purpose. So the leaning forward imagery and step is really about taking ownership and choosing your direction. Where do you want to grow? What do you want to learn? What are you committed to doing? And then making mm-hmm. a bold promise, or making a commitment that says, you know what, there's no turning back. I'm moving in this direction. Mm-hmm. And then once you put yourself in that off-balance posture, then it's amazing how the resources begin to appear in your life. And some of those resources are inside you already, but maybe you weren't able to access them because you weren't in that life posture, in that position of saying, I'm really going for it now. And then other resources and opportunities and people will begin to show up in your life from around you. And you'll say, wow, this is great. This is exactly what I've been thinking of. And now I'm taking action toward achieving that goal. And suddenly I have all these new opportunities and people who are willing to help me get there.
Now, I mean, all this sounds wonderful, Dan, but I know there's a lot of people listening, and they're going to say, yeah, this all sounds great, but I've stuck my neck out before. I tried to start a new business. I tried to start this new project with the tribe. I got permission from the board, or the health board, or whatever kind of project it is that they're working with, tribal leadership. And, hey, I stuck my neck out there. No one really rallied to my side, and things flopped, and I'm never going to do that again. How do you address that kind of feeling where someone feels like, yeah, I've went out there, I've put my all into something, and it didn't fly, and that just confirmed I need to stay in a safer place? I'm sure you've heard that many times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, nobody said it would be easy. But to be significant with your world, not just to be successful or to be plugged in or to be safe, but to be significant and to feel like you're really pursuing what matters, often does take a lot of creativity and a lot of resources, and being able to use those resources in the best way possible is what I refer to in the next step. So it's a great segue into talking about step four, which is to leverage your resources. Now, the idea of leverage means you're not just using what you have, but you're finding the best way to use what you have. You're really getting the greatest push or the greatest momentum out of what you have to work with inside of you and around you. And again, when we identify those strengths and resources, back when we take ownership of our reality, we can apply them now in this step. And we need to share not only what we're trying to achieve, but to share the reasons why we're trying to achieve that. In other words, to spread that purpose, to spread that excitement and enthusiasm. And we need to manufacture that energy and bring the energy along with our ideas when we have conversations.
So really, a lot of what happens if we really get invested in something is other people catch the vision as well, isn't it?
I believe so, yes. And I think that's where it truly begins to take momentum and become more sustainable. You know, you can only produce and manufacture your own energy for a certain amount of time before you start getting stuff back, you know, getting that energy back. Now, I look at it as, imagine that pattern again and those five spheres working in conjunction with one another in your life. Well, what fuels that pattern? What is that pattern fuel? And I believe there are three aspects of pattern fuel. There's your time, there's your money, and there's your energy, your personal energy. And when all of those three components, time, money, and energy, are working in conjunction with one another, now you're really leveraging your resources, and you're most likely to get the best results.
I think a lot of people, Dan, would say, look, sure, I want to achieve something. I'm willing to spend time and personal energy. They may feel like they've got a lot in the way of financial resources or very little, and I'm speaking, you know, either of an individual or an organization. But I think a lot of people would say, well, I'm doing that. I mean, if I'm investing in something, I'm putting my all into it. But in reality, even though people may say that, I think you and I have both seen that that's really not true many times, is it?
Well, and that happens with finances, that happens with time as well. I mean, one of the most popular excuses that I've heard and that you've heard, I'm sure, is that, well, I just don't have enough time. I would love to do that. You know, I could be more productive, I could be a success, or I could be a greater contribution to my family or to my community if I just had a little more time. Similarly, we might say, you know, I would be more generous. Back to our original topic, I would be more philanthropic, and I will be once I have more money. Once I have that foundation and that, you know, that nest egg, then I'm going to be philanthropic and generous. But I think those are excuses. I think that's, in a way, that's a cop out, because not enough time. And I have a whole chapter about this. Not enough time is not your problem. We all have the same amount of time. The people who are most successful have the exact same amount of time as the people who are not. And how you spend your time is really a function of what matters. It's a function of what you value. And people who say, wow, I need to have more time because it takes hours upon hours to achieve a measurable result, I look at it a little bit differently. And I say, yes, it's important to make your hours most productive. But really, effective time management is not as much about squeezing every hour as it is about seizing moments, and seizing the moments that really matter when you can make a change or can make a decision and stick to it.
So really, what a lot of people tend to think of when we look at these, you're exactly right, time, money, personal energy is what they don't have. And we're talking with Dan Thurman. He's really trying to help us see that there are ways that we can capitalize on the resources that we do have. We're going to be talking more with Dan in our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. We'll be giving you some contact information for Dan and his resources. Again, if you didn't get that earlier, I'm Dr. David DeRose. Don't go away. Stay tuned for more.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by the Lifestyle Center of America. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center and used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 800-596-5480. American Indian Living is also sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, known as NAHAI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHAI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHAI is available at nahaicharity.org.
Canned vegetables. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on. Help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I want to.
Sorry. Duncan.
I want to put another birthday.
Too bad.
Mommy, what's that mean?
Well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back. Dr. David DeRose here. My guest today, Dan Thurman. If you haven't been with us from the beginning of the show, he is the author of the book, Off Balance on Purpose. Dan, I love the subtitle. It really fits in with what we've been speaking about, Embrace Uncertainty and Create a Life You Love. For those who really haven't caught the spirit, maybe they've just joined us, tell us again how people can tap into some of these resources.
Great. Well, David, the website for my book is offbalanceonpurpose.com. So that's real easy to remember. Mm-hmm. And you can learn more about the book. You can read a sample chapter. You can investigate a free report with a really detailed, almost like a Cliff Notes summary of the book that will take you through the whole process and see some video there as well. So offbalanceonpurpose.com is the main resource for the book. You can also purchase the book there or at any of your online retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got a personal website that has some additional video clips and things that complement your messages?
Correct. That's danthurman.com. And there's a lot of great value there in terms of blogging and videos, a lot of depth about videos for these illustrations in action in front of live audiences.
Well, Dan, this is a tumultuous time in many people's lives. We're often talking about issues of reprioritizing, refocusing. You've been walking us through a process where someone can really, through five steps, transform their life, transform their business, their organization. It would apply to a tribal organization, to a personal business, to an individual's life. you first mentioned just owning your reality, owning where you're at in life, not blaming it on anyone else. Recap a few of those other steps, and we'll pick up the dialogue from there.
Step two is to seek your purpose relative to your life and the main reason why you're here, and continuing to explore that, as well as seeking a purpose every day and approaching each opportunity or experience or conversation with a sense for what is my intention here? What am I really trying to focus on? Or just my focus is to be present and to see those opportunities that may arise. Third step is to lean forward. When you have a sense of purpose, to lean forward, to initiate a sense of action and transformation, and even if it makes you a little bit uncomfortable, in fact, that's the goal, is to lean forward and purposely make yourself uncomfortable, but in a good way, because now you're oriented towards something you're going to do and change for the better. The fourth step is to leverage your resources. Once you're in that forward-leaning posture, you begin to sense new resources and a new commitment to being able to make progress and make changes. So we get more excited about our ideas. We become more creative about different ways we can put our time, our energy, and our money to the greatest possible use. And then we'll start to feel some success. You know, if we persist with this long enough, we'll start to feel some success. And it begins to feel good, and you feel that sense of energy. And you haven't really attained your objective yet. You haven't made that whole transformation, but you're seeing results. And this is really a temptation to slack off a little bit, to just quit because we're feeling that momentum, or maybe not continue to keep our commitment at the highest level. And the fifth step, the last step of the process, and the one that I think is most overlooked, is to follow through, to be able to keep your commitment and to say, even though I'm feeling this energy and these positive results in my life, I'm going to persist. I'm going to keep doing the hard work. I'm going to keep doing my daily disciplines. I'm going to keep making my phone calls and making these changes because it's important and it's congruent and because I really have a higher target in mind. And once we do ultimately achieve a sense of fulfillment on an originally intended goal or a sense of purpose, we're not done. We're going to constantly be relearning and reinventing and setting new goals. So we never completely follow through. We're never completely done. In fact, I believe that we all have a limitless potential. You know, people say, I'll never reach my full potential, or I haven't reached my full potential. And I say, you know what? You never will reach your full potential, because your potential is infinite. You know, when we tap into God or a sense of spirit or growth, we can be constantly changing and learning and growing in each of those five spheres, in the way we work, in the quality of our relationships, in the pursuit of our health, and in our spiritual growth, and in the things we love. We could constantly be learning.
You know, Dan, I think the thing that's so challenging for all this, I mean, the concepts, like we've said a number of times on the show, I think resonate throughout Indian country and across cultural lines. People would say, yeah, I mean, these are things that I can assent to. But when we speak about following through, for example, and put that in light of this whole discussion we've been having about resources, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's personal energy, I think a lot of people, you know, are tempted to sit back and say, well, you know, what are you really talking about? Because, I mean, I only have so much energy. I only have so much time. I only have so much money. And how much more can I bring to any project than I've brought? And I'm not seeing the success that I thought I would. I mean, it sounded like a magic formula, and I'm not there. I think this is a disenchantment that hits people at many stages in life, whether it's with their relationships, whether it's with a business, maybe it's with an organization that they work for. How do you deal with that? Where do you know? You've got to just hang in there and follow through, and maybe you're going in a direction that's really not the direction you should be following, and get a message that you need to refocus and reprioritize.
Well, you know what, that's a great question, and it's a very valid idea, because we truly can tap into that sense of limitation and say, you know what, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the energy, and you and I have talked about that already in terms of how that becomes a limitation and an excuse. But truly, when you think about our time, when you think about our money, when you think about our energy, we don't really have that anyway. It is just borrowed. It is just we're here to experience that in this moment and in our time, in our abbreviated time on Earth. And I believe that it's just a matter of tapping into the flow of those things to be able to direct those in the energy where you want them to go and to be able to create more abundance for yourself and for others by applying these resources in the best way, in the most creative way possible. And the main thing is that it's connected to a sense of intention. It's not aimless or pointless. It's aimed and it's pointed. And so that's why what I mean when I say off balance, but on purpose.
One of the things throughout Indian country, of course, that's a deeply held value is looking out for our posterity, making sure that we provide not only for our children, grandchildren, but for many generations. And as we talk about this, I think sometimes there's a tension, and it's not just a Native American tension, but this tension of, well, if I put too much into what I'm doing right now, am I actually taking away, am I robbing from my children, my grandchildren, the future, whether it's in time, whether it's in money? How do you process that, Dan, in a way that really does justice to all those five spheres we've been speaking about?
Wow, that's a deep question and probably something we can explore for another hour completely. but, you know, David, maybe the best thing I could say to that is I think the greatest gift that we can give our children and our grandchildren and the generations that will follow us is the gift of our example and the gift of the life that we live. And what will they be saying about us? When they're telling our stories, what stories will they be telling? What values will they say that we've embodied, that we've shared? And that's, again, where we go back to our first topic of generosity, of connections to one another, of having relationships in our life that matter. And so I think when we hold back our finances or hold back our energy in a spirit of protecting against the future, that perhaps that comes from a mindset of scarcity, that there will never be enough, when I think perhaps we should look at the abundance that we have in our life and that we have in our heart and that we can share with those who we have in front of us and those we haven't even met yet.
I love that that concept of looking at the abundance we have. So no matter where I find myself today, I'm truly fortunate, I'm truly blessed, whatever terminology you want to use. I have opportunities today where I can actually give back, where I can help others. And some of those things are the very most meaningful things that we can do in any organization, any family, or for any individual. Isn't that the case?
That's very well said, and I think you're absolutely right.
Dan, you've got such a wealth of information, and I know even though we had a one-hour show, it seems to me like we've really only scratched the surface. I know there's people that are going to want to pick up your book or tap into some of the free resources you've got. Can you give us your website one more time?
Great. Offbalanceonpurpose.com or Dan Thurman, D-A-N-T-H-U-R-M-O-N. .com. Those two websites will give you great resources, and look forward to keeping the connection going.
Hey, thanks so much, Dan. That was Dan Thurman. He's the author of the book Off Balance on Purpose. You heard his website, again, offbalanceonpurpose.com. A lot more information there for you. For all of us at American Indian Living, we're hoping that today's show has contributed to you living a more productive and more generous life. For all of us, I'm Dr. David DeRose.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. We hope today's program has contributed to your living a healthy life. American Indian Living Radio is brought to you by the Native Education and Health Initiative in partnership with the Lifestyle Center of America and Life Talk Radio. American Indian Living is also distributed through the Public Radio Satellite System by American Indian Radio on Satellite, a service of Native American Public Telecommunications.